If you enjoy The Spectator's podcast, why not subscribe to the magazine as well? You can get 12 weeks of The Spectator for just £12, plus a free £20 John Lewis or Waitrose voucher if you go to spectator.co.uk/voucher. This is a podcast-only deal, and we hope you take us up on it.
Hello and welcome to Coffee House Shots. I'm Lucy Dunn, and today I'm joined by James Heal and Michael Simmons. This morning, Prime Minister Rishi Sunak unveiled his new welfare settlement in a speech to the Centre for Social Justice. He pledged to end this sick note culture. James, you've written on this for Coffee House. Can you tell us a little bit more about what Sunak said?
Absolutely. So went down there to the Centre for Social Justice with an ample supply of biscuits that were provided. And basically, look, today was a big speech. It's been rearranged by number 10 a few times, I think. But it's really, I think, Rishi Sunak put a bit more detail on the kind of back to work agenda. Obviously, so we've talked previously on this podcast before, we've done an interview with the Prime Minister where he really talks about his aim to get those on the long-term out-of-work benefits back into work. That bill post-pandemic now means there's sort of 2.8 million out-of-work, which we cover a lot on Coffee House. And so really, this was an attempt today to kind of put a bit more thought and a bit more policy behind that agenda. Overnight, the big thing that was trailed was about him ending the sick note culture, whereby you have GPs signing off on people rather to then get to claim benefits as a result of that. So Rishi Sunak said, for instance, in the speech, he said there are issues with this. Obviously, GPs will have a special relationship with their patient. They might come under pressure to essentially sign off on a claim where they weren't not fully in favour of. And he therefore suggested they're going to be trialling at the Department for Worker Pensions across the country ways in which other people, benefit assessors, can come in and make a more perhaps objective claim about all this. There's one bit in the speech where he said that 94% of claims were signed as being not fit for work, only 6% might be fit for work. So that point being is, you know, how is it so disproportionate as a result? So the package of measures he announced, which were accelerating the final rollout of universal credit, increasing sanctions, changing the rules to ensure someone working less than half of a full-time week will have to look for more work. And then next week there's going to be reforms to disability benefit. But of course, the big question is how much of this is going to actually change before the next election? Like so many of the issues facing this government, small boats crossings, NHS waiting times. It's a really big systemic issue that has built up over this parliament post-pandemic. And the question is, can this be resolved in months rather than years? So one thing, for instance, when Rishi Sunak, in one of the new policies he announced, he said that he wanted to introduce a bill in the next parliament to legislate that anyone on benefits for 12 months who does not comply with conditions set by their work coach will have their claim closed and benefits moved entirely. A big pledge, but frankly, who thinks Prime Minister is going to be there in 12 months' time to deliver on it? So the question is, of course, all this work that's kind of going on in Whitehall, all the trials and the schemes and the work on all this, is it going to probably maybe benefit a Labour government if it chooses to pick up and run with it? So it'll be interesting to see how Labour responds to this announcement today and, of course, how much of that agenda they'd actually pick up and do with something within government.
And Michael, during the Prime Minister's speech, the Department for Work and Pensions quietly released updated benefits forecasts. This is an area that you've covered extensively. So can you tell us a little bit more about what exactly today's forecast means?
Yeah, so we were kind of caught a bit off guard by this because these forecasts are is every time there is a budget or an autumn statement, there's forecasts that are put together on the caseload and expenditure of every different benefit that is administered by the British state. And they were due to be released for the spring budget next Tuesday. But this morning, I just got an email notification saying that the page had been updated, and it seems that they decided to get these figures out basically while Sunak was speaking. And what those figures show, you know, they highlight why this is such a huge problem. Already, we'd seen that there's huge forecast rises to the number of people on disability benefits. These new forecasts now show that those are going to grow by 990 people a day for the next 5 years. And that means that the total number of Brits on disability benefits by 2029, which is as far forward as they forecast, is 7.6 million. And that's 113,000 higher than when they did the previous forecast just 6 months ago.
And of the people who are economically inactive or on out of work on long-term sick leave, so what are the reasons for them taking time off?
So this is something that's really sort of changed since the pandemic and since the lockdowns. Now, in the most recent figures we have, 53% of people who are out of work because of long-term sickness it's because of what the ONS characterises as anxiety and bad nerves. So broadly, sort of mental health conditions. And that's something that I think, you know, Sunak is getting at in his speech. This aspect that people before would have been more encouraged to you know, get on with it, essentially. That's now becoming more of a reason why you would be out of work. And then after that reason, you have musculoskeletal issues, so bad backs. And this is something that, you know, needs looked into a lot more, because I can't help but feel that, you know, working from home may be playing a part in that.
And James, in anticipation of the Prime Minister's address today, the Labour Party said the government has run out of ideas. What's your take on this? Do you think that talking about sick note culture will really cut through in the run-up to the election this year?
Well, that was interesting the way in which Sunak approached it. I think the headlines, you know, obviously is quite attention-grabbing to talk about the sick note culture. But it was a more interesting and, I think, nuanced speech in lots of ways. I mean, he repeatedly throughout the speech and then the subsequent questions declined to make this into a culture war issue. He was asked by GB News, he said, you know, is this about a generational shift? Gen Z, frankly, not willing to work given the number of young people suffering from these kind of things. And he declined that chance, and he did throughout it. It's about trying to, you know, make stress the moral element of this, actually getting people back into work. It's not just about making economies, hence why he re-announced today additional support for employment measures, so in terms of funding. So I think it is both a reasonably sensible thing to do, with also the hope that he might get a bit of political credit for actually trying to take these sort of long-term measures. I think what's notable, the way the benefits debate has sort of evolved from 10 years ago. 10 years ago, of course, and introducing Prime Minister today was Ian Duncan-Smith, who was the Work and Pension Secretary during the coalition government. I think 10 years ago, there was perhaps a much more hard-line position on benefits where it was much more seen as, you know, fraud within the system, etc. Now, I think attitudes have changed. Look at polling since then. I also think that it's also a bit more difficult because the obvious retort to that is, hang on a sec, you've been in government for 14 years. Didn't the universal credit reforms work? And they did work, but I think we're now in a different position where a lot of the claims now, some of it's mental health. The whole debate has evolved as well. There's more young people claiming these benefits as well. So I think it was an attempt today to try and do some of the difficult thinking. I know it's something that's obviously something close to the Prime Minister's heart, and you talk to his aides, they're very keen to talk about it. But also him and Mel Stride, you know, it's a difficult issue because, of course, who wants to go out there and tell people, as we saw from 10 years ago when we had the Universal Credit and you had, you know, Ken Loach making I, Daniel Blake, the film, etc., what happens in individual cases if people get, you know, sanctioned or have their benefits removed? The key fact is it's going to be one of those big systemic issues facing the British state, it seems, throughout the 2020s. And I suppose in the point of view that it's reasonably right in policy terms and politically able space, you know, I don't know many Conservatives who disagree with Rishi Sunak saying today, it is a reasonably good topic for the Prime Minister to lead upon. And it's something, obviously, we've been talking a lot about on Coffee House Shots before.
So, Michael, what we're seeing in Britain, is this part of a wider trend? What is the international dimension on this?
Well, actually, when we look at the international figures, Britain's a bit of an outlier on its kind of post-pandemic recovery. If we look at just general economic inactivity, so not just sickness, just all reasons why people are not in work or looking for it, if you compare that to Europe, the G7, the OECD, we're pretty much the bottom or very near the bottom in terms of what the size of our active workforce was compared to before the pandemic, whereas other countries like Ireland, Hungary, Poland have increased their active population in those years since. And it's never really kind of been clear what we're doing wrong here. And, you know, this today is a step forward of the government trying to tackle it. But I think there's a lot more to be done, even just understanding what are other countries doing right, what went so wrong here.
Thank you, James. Thank you, Michael. And thank you for listening.